Welcome to the Work Camper Show, a podcast devoted to helping you discover how to finance your RV travel dreams. I'm Steve Anderson, the president of Work Camper News. Each one of our episodes will either introduce you to people who are already living the RV lifestyle or to opportunities to work short-term jobs. You'll also learn how to hit the road the right way and make the most of every opportunity. Now let's turn over today's show to your host, Greg Gerber.
Thank you, Steve. Today I'm speaking with a woman who has developed multiple income streams to fund her family's RV travel experience, and she'll describe some of them. Today's episode is sponsored by Work Camper News. With its Diamond and Platinum membership tools, Work Camper News is much more than just a job listing website. When you put the tools of this professional service into action, you'll find out just how easy it can be to turn your work camping dreams into reality. The one-year membership opens the door to a one-stop shop for all things RVing. Being the original resource for work camping, you'll find the largest number of job listings, be able to connect with the community of work campers, and view resources compiled by experts who've been enjoying the RV lifestyle for many years. If you're serious about leading a successful and enjoyable work camping lifestyle, then a Diamond or Platinum membership is for you. You can even get started with a free 30-day trial by visiting www.workcamper.com/trial. Embark on new adventures today with the support of Work Camper News behind you. Danielle Salser is originally from Flagstaff, Arizona. She's been traveling at a breakneck speed through the Midwest this summer with her husband Scott and two daughters, 13-year-old Samantha and 5-year-old Lily. She was in Denison, Texas when the interview was recorded about 6 weeks ago, and has since been traveling through Missouri, Illinois, Wisconsin, and Minnesota. The Salsers have the freedom to travel at will because they developed several different revenue streams to support them on the road. Both Danielle and Scott are certified RV inspectors. Danielle is also a registered RV technician, and Scott is a certified RV tech. Together, they do what's called retail arbitrage with Amazon. Danielle also creates digital art and sells it online. They use affiliate links on all their websites to generate extra income. She says she's using her natural gifts and acquired skills to earn money in a fun way while trying to cultivate and embody a way of life for her kids to, hopefully, grow up and live similar, happy, fulfilled lives of adventure and wonder. The family and two dogs live in a Keystone Sprinter fifth wheel with 3 slides. They modified the RV for full-time living, and Danielle describes some of the adjustments they made to ensure the girls have separate living space. They bought the RV in 2019 and moved in right away while they wrapped up loose ends in Arizona, then hit the road full-time in June 2020. Marketing the RV tech and inspection business has been as easy as putting up signs in the campground where they're staying and updating their location on an inspector locator website. It took all of 2 days to land their first paying customers. The Salsers are road schooling their daughters, which is just like homeschooling, except they travel to historic places to learn things firsthand. For example, they have already visited the Eisenhower Library and Museum in Texas, as well as Lincoln's family home and burial place in Illinois. Right now, they're retracing the steps of Laura Ingalls Wilder by visiting her old family farm in Walnut Grove, Minnesota. To tell us more about how they finance their travel dreams and create new opportunities for their daughters to learn, please welcome Danielle Salser to the show. Thank you for joining me today, Danielle. I appreciate it. Tell me a little bit about your family, where you're from, and where you're at right now.
Hi, Greg. Thanks for having me. We are currently in Denison, Texas. We are from Flagstaff, Arizona, though. I have two girls, Samantha, who is 13 and a half, and Lily, who just turned 5, and my husband, Scott, who we run a business together out of our RV.
That's neat. Are you traveling with any pets?
We are. We have two dogs. One is named Doug and one is named Jake. And Doug's on the bigger side. He's a mutt that we rescued, and Jake's on the smaller side. So we've got a wide range of everybody.
Okay. What kind of RV are you traveling in?
We are traveling in a fifth wheel. It is a Keystone Sprinter.
Okay.
And it's got 3 slide outs.
Very good. Is it, did you configure it so each of the kids have separate sleeping areas? Obviously. I mean, did you put in bunk beds or did it come with it?
We did. So we haven't done a lot of remodeling to the RV itself, but we have a lower bed so that Lily can get in and out of bed without any issues. And then Samantha got the higher side. So they're on opposite sides of the room, which was already configured that way, but we just took one of the bunks out so that it was easier in and out. And we've done a lot of wallpapering in the house, and that's been our remodeling to sort of make it feel like a home in there.
Mm-hmm. And how long have you been RVing?
Well, we sold our house in May of 2019 and moved into the RV right away. And we left Arizona in June of 2020. We decided it was now or never.
Okay, very good. So where are some of the places you've been visiting?
We left Arizona and made our way towards Michigan to go visit some family. And so we took a route from Arizona, New Mexico, Oklahoma, Missouri, Michigan. And in Michigan, we decided we were going to go take RV training, to be inspectors. And, so we left from Michigan and made our way all the way south down to Athens, Texas.
Okay. Very good. Did you like that class?
That class was amazing. Luckily, I kind of knew what I was getting into because I took the at-home training ahead of time. And then we decided it was such good training in Michigan that it was something that we wanted to pursue and make it a career for us.
Okay, very good. So now you're both working as RV inspectors?
We are both RV inspectors. I'm also a registered RV technician, and Scott just completed his certified RV technician courses. So he's taken the really in-depth training. That's a week-long training right now for certified technicians.
Oh, that's very good.
It's several weeks training, but several week-long weeks, yes. Individually.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool. And so he's doing that training right now?
He just completed it about 2 weeks ago, so he's taken his first job after being a certified technician.
Okay. And does it, just curious, did it take long for him to find work as a technician, or either of you guys to find work?
Not at all. we got some signs printed up and post them. It's a canvas sign that we hang on the back of one of our vehicles. And it originally was just saying that we were inspectors. And then Scott added with a very heavy duty Sharpie marker saying RV technician. And probably about 2 days after doing that, while we were in the park, we got someone calling us up.
I can imagine. It's usually that way for most of the technicians that I've talked to. They just put out a sign and wait for the phone to ring or the door to knock, you know, the knock at the door.
And that's what it was. It was a knock on the door and a phone call the next day.
Very good. What attracted you folks to the RV lifestyle?
Well, we wanted to travel. Living in Flagstaff, it's a beautiful location, but it was hard to leave our home and go see everything and then come back. It's expensive to do that. And the housing market wasn't, you know, it was on its way to where it is. And we figured we could get what we got for it. And why not take a leap? You know, you only live once. Mm-hmm. We have two kids that we wanted our kids to really grow into who they would be without outside influences, like bullies at school. Yes. Or, you know, my kids were doing drills for gunmen in the school. And so it was just, I get the reasoning behind it, but I really wanted to have the girls feel free. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we chose this lifestyle to kind of give them a hands-on life and explore life with them while they're kids. And, you know, my 5-year-old is saying, I remember the bats, Mom, in New Mexico. And it's, she's at 5 years old already pointing out things saying, I've been there. I've mm-hmm. been there. And it's a really amazing feeling as a parent to see that, see them learning and not just from a book. It's amazing. Really. Absolutely. It's been amazing.
Absolutely. I love the term that they coined for that called road schooling, where the yes. kids are learning by going to the places to study about them.
Yes.
Like you, before we exactly. started the interview, you mentioned that you're about to go to the Eisenhower Library and Museum in Denison. So you're going to learn about the former president and probably.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
We've also been watching Little House on the Prairie. Because we're about to make our way north into Minnesota for a full-time family rally up there.
Oh, cool.
So we're going to be going across the Great Plains and a lot of the areas where Laura Ingalls Wilder and her families were. So we've been incorporating watching the show and learning about, you know, pioneer times and moving west and expansion into just our everyday talk. It doesn't even feel like school. It's just everyday talk.
That's neat. Are you going to stop at Walnut Grove?
We are.
Very good. I'm a fan of the TV show myself, and I stopped there on a journey a number of years ago, and they have a beautiful museum there full of all kinds of replicas about what their life was like, as well as the TV show. And you can even go and visit their old home where they originally were listed.
That'll be great.
So yeah, it'll be neat. Neat for you guys.
Cool.
And so to support yourself on the road, you have a business. So you're not doing work camping jobs. You're doing a business. Tell us about that.
So we actually do a couple of businesses. Our main business, though, is RV inspecting and doing the RV service calls that Scott's recently been able to pick up. So that's our main focus of income. And we also sell on Amazon and on eBay. So when we're out shopping, we're looking for deals that we can flip and send into Amazon and make a couple of bucks that way as well.
Okay. I understand you're pretty creative. Are you doing art or photography?
Actually, a little bit of everything. So I do digital art and logos. I do photography and I do videography.
Oh, wow.
And I've been selling my art on a platform called OpenSea.io, I believe is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have pictures listed up on Pixar. And I've been putting videos up on YouTube. But okay. I got to tell you, I haven't put recent ones up because YouTube doesn't even know we're in an RV yet.
Okay. Well, that's neat. So, and this is all creating multiple income streams for you folks so that you've always got something coming in to support you.
It is. And we figured it was all really fun ways of income so that we didn't feel like it was going to be, you know, hard to earn money while on the road. We wanted it to be fun ways so that, you know, hey, you want to go shopping today and see how much money we can make? Or, you know, helping people on the road is always super satisfying. And having the knowledge that we have and the ability to help folks is just, I can't even say how awesome it is.
That's neat. Have you worked any traditional work camping jobs, like as campground hosts or things like that?
Not yet, okay. But we do have a resume up on Work Campers News, and so we're open to going someplace. We're just on the move a lot so far.
How often are you moving to a new location?
I'd say about every 14 to 20 days or so we move. If we really like a place, we see if we can move around in the area. But for so far, we've been pretty content going about every 20 days, maybe 300 miles or so.
Well, that's a nice pace. That's comfortable.
You know, it really gets you to see a lot that way.
Yeah, you get to see everything in a particular area and then move a little further away and repeat the process.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now we just got to figure out how to do it on the right seasons.
Yes. Avoid Minnesota in the winter. That would be my advice.
Right. And Texas in the summer.
That's very true. Very true. Where are some of the places that you're looking forward to going?
Well, we barely touched base in Oregon and the Pacific Northwest when we were working with FEMA up there. But that would be another place that I would really love to go. And then on the opposite side, we really want to go see all of the New England side of everything and how America was settled.
Oh, yes. That's a beautiful place to visit out in the New England area, especially Boston, just rich in history. I mean, the girls will love it.
We're really excited to go there.
Mm-hmm. So you were inspecting RVs for FEMA. Tell us about that.
We did. We were called over, it was probably close to about the Thanksgiving time, that they needed some inspectors up in Oregon to help with the fire victims up there. So we have two little ones and they needed us for several hours. And luckily we were able to go up there and Scott was able to work and I stayed with the girls. But it's long days, but it's worth it.
Mm-hmm. And you're just going through and pointing out problems with the RVs so that they can be inspected. I mean, these people have already lost everything, their homes and all of that kind of stuff. The last thing we want to do is put them in a faulty RV, right?
Exactly. So what we do is we go in there and make sure that the life safety issues are taken care of and that the RV is in well shape for the fire victims to move into. We mm-hmm. want it to be sound for them.
And this was something that was made available to you after you left the inspector's course. Am I correct?
It is. It is. They had gotten our name. I'm not really maybe from the website. On the locator website, on the NRVIA locator website, mm-hmm. and saw that we were in the area and made the call out to us. And we were in Vegas at the time and made our way up to Medford, Oregon after that.
Okay. That's beautiful country too. Have you faced any challenges on the road?
Yeah. You know, probably our biggest challenge has been truck issues.
Okay.
We can deal with all the RV issues, but we've had a few truck issues here and there. So we broke down in Sonoma County, which is not the cheapest place to break down at. Mm-hmm. But you know, we got through it and it was on our way back from the, from Oregon. And I couldn't ask for a prettier place to break down at. So that's right. I was thankful for that at least.
That's right. Plenty of wine stops there to make you forget your troubles too, right?
Exactly.
Now, did you find taking the technician's course to be helpful in keeping you on the road?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We can do our own maintenance. And it is something that saves us a lot of money in that aspect. And then we also had issues with our furnace, with our toilets, with the awning, with several check valves, you know, all of these things that are small issues, but if you don't know what you're looking for, they can really, really create big problems.
That's right. So are you able to fix most of the problems by yourself?
I'm able to fix most of the problems by myself. And I would say Scott could fix all of the problems by himself.
Okay. That's great. So you really don't ever have to go into an RV service center.
Unless we needed heavy tools and machinery, nope, mm-hmm. we can do all of this on our own.
Okay, very good. Now, I typically ask people what kind of perks they enjoy as work campers, but you don't get like perks from an employer, so you have to make your own perks. What are some of the things that you guys like to do together?
We like to look for the best ice cream and pizza that we can find in each town. We always try and find ice cream shops and pizza shops. That's one of our main goals. The mom and pop places are really important to us. Mm-hmm. We look for the nice city parks and take our girls to that. We don't tend to wake up before 9 o'clock.
That is a perk. Mm-hmm.
It is. It's nice being your own boss.
Mm-hmm. Now, are you staying at private campgrounds? Or are you part of mixing it up a bit with like state parks, et cetera?
So we are fully capable of boondocking. We've got solar set up and everything. So we can mix up with doing boondocking. We are in the Thousand Trails parks. So we stay with in them as often as we can. Or we go to state parks. We also like some county fairgrounds. Have been pretty neat. In Springfield, Illinois, we stayed at a state park fairground and it was really a really cool spot.
You know,
so we just find off the wall place that we can stay at that is sort of educational at the same time.
And some of the best places that I stayed at when I was at a full-time RVer was the fairgrounds. At various mm-hmm. places that I went to, they have a lot of good amenities there, and it's convenient locations, easy in, easy out, that type of thing. You just can't go during fair week. That would be not advisable. It gets a little crazy then. But yeah, that's a good idea. Now, when you started RVing, what were the girls thinking back then? Were they excited about doing this or a little apprehensive?
I think it was a little of both. It was scary for my oldest because she was leaving her friends. And I think she thought we would be going on adventures right away, but we were staying close to home. Scott was still finishing out his contract with his FedEx job. And so I think that was a little bit of a surprise. But once we got to traveling, it was better. I do have to say that we traveled during COVID, but we stayed away from everybody and wore masks. Mm-hmm. So it's a little bit different than normal times, I would say. But now that we're getting back to normal, we're really looking forward to seeing what more adventures we can have.
Oh, sure. Now, one of the biggest challenges that a lot of parents have with kids is getting them to downsize because, you know, many families just have stuff pushed into cabinets and closets and everywhere. And when you downsize into 400 square feet, it really reduces that ability to collect stuff. Did anybody have any problems with that?
Actually, we really didn't have too many problems with that. That's part of where our second jobs came into play, because as we were downsizing, we were selling things. And so we would list them on eBay for, you know, a couple bucks here and there. And so that's what we do now, is that we find things and then we'll sell them and then we'll go to thrift stores and replenish. And we've got a whole little cycle going on that, you know, what we sell, we tell the girls we can get new things with that money.
Mm-hmm. Now, you'd mentioned that you're doing retail arbitrage with Amazon. I've never heard of that. What is it?
So what we do is we go into retail stores such as Walmart or Dollar General, or, you know, places around the country that just sell regular retail. And we scan it in an app that Amazon offers to see how much it sells for on Amazon. And if there is a profit to be made, then we purchase the item in the store and bring it home with us to the RV. We prep it at the RV, meaning that we put our own labels on it. Labels meaning barcode labels, not like brand labels. And we package it into poly bags and send it off to Amazon. Then Amazon handles all of the customer service, all of the shipping, all of the returns. And we pay a small fee for them to do all of that stuff. But all we do is look for inventory, anything like Q-tips or, you know, something similar to that. It could be just as easy as that you just scan it and send it in.
So you would go into like a Walmart to their clearance section and you'd look at something and say, you know, there's probably some market value in this, and you'd scan it with this app and you'd find out what it's sold for at Amazon. And if it is a good deal, you just buy them right there at the Walmart and ship them to Amazon and they'll ship them out for you.
Exactly. That's exactly it. Anybody could do that. Yep.
That's nice. And so you're able to make a relatively decent income doing that kind of thing.
Absolutely. I can make as much as I want to put into it as far as effort goes. So we don't always put in a huge effort because sometimes it's a little hard to prep in an RV. But when we feel like we've got a mood or we find a really great deal, we'll buy a whole bunch of things and prep it right there in the RV and send it off.
Well, this sounds like it'd be a great business for the girls to be involved in, really, to find
it
things
is.
Like craft supplies and stuff like that, toys, and then sell them through this business on Amazon.
Exactly. And really, I even asked my oldest one and I say, what's really popular when it comes to toys? Because I have the ability to buy wholesale now that I have a reseller's license. And when I buy wholesale, I ask her what's popular and then I buy that and I add that to the Amazon store, and my wholesalers will send it right to Amazon. It doesn't come to me.
Wow.
So I buy it from there and they send it to Amazon and Amazon preps it for me. which is another extra fee. Mm-hmm. And then it gets listed in my store on Amazon.
Okay.
And they make us, you know, and then I give my daughter some payoff of that as well.
Awesome. That sounds like a great opportunity for them and for you guys.
It is. It mm-hmm. is. Like I said, we really want to make this as enjoyable as possible. We're all looking to save a little bit of money and make a little bit of money. But we're also looking to really, really have fun in this RV adventure that we chose to do.
So you're on your way up to Minnesota now, and you're going to stay there until the first snowflake hits the ground. Is that right?
Actually, we're going to be staying and we're going crazy. We're going from Texas to Minnesota, and then we've got the month of September where we're off. And then we'll head down back to Arizona. We'll be in Camp Verde area the first week of November. We're going to meet some friends in Camp Verde. And then we're going to spend the holidays with family in Flagstaff.
Okay. So you'll be in Arizona for the winter.
We will. We okay. will. What a better place to go ahead and do our business.
Exactly. And so do you have plans for 2022 yet?
You know, we really don't.
How far in advance do you set your plans?
I don't even know where we're going to be going after this next park that we're at right now.
Okay.
But okay. because we're set up to boondock, as long as we can find a spot, I feel comfortable living like that. I wouldn't suggest that for everybody. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we feel like we can kind of go wherever or find a spot. And we're not in a small rig either. Our RV is about 36 feet. And then we're in an extended full-size truck as well.
Okay. Can you talk about your solar system, the one that you had installed? What's it involve? It sounds like this would be a great option for a bunch of people.
It would be. I don't know as much on the solar system as what Scott did. Scott actually installed it. I found the deal for it. Arizona Wind and Solar is in Flagstaff, and that's where we found the deal from, but they were doing a local auction, and we bid on the auction and won the solar setup minus the inverter and batteries. So if anybody's out there looking for solar, look for an auction for solar.
Well, that's a great idea.
We got a really good deal.
Mm-hmm. And then you just bought the inverter and batteries separately?
We sure did. Yep.
Okay.
And we actually ended up boondocking around the Flagstaff area, in and out for about 10 months.
Okay. How long do you think you could stay out without being connected to shore power?
Indefinitely.
Really?
We have a generator. Yeah.
Okay. Super. So yeah. Your solar must really pump out some power.
It does. So during the day, because I would be home with my youngest during the day while my oldest was in regular school and Scott was at work. So we would have the two TVs running. We would have, I would be working on the computer if I needed to vacuum. At times I could run the microwave. We have Bluetooth set up with our batteries, I believe it is. Mm-hmm. And so I could check the voltage and how much that we were using at that moment and make sure I wasn't going over that amount.
Okay. Well, that's neat. So it's just a little bit of power management and being aware of what's being run at that time. And you can stay out wherever, pretty much wherever you can get, you know, a good deal. And it might be a BLM land or a state park or a national park or wherever. Harvest Coast.
Exactly.
Wonderful. That's great. So do you have any advice to people who are considering becoming work campers or exploring the RV lifestyle?
My biggest advice for new folks out there is have fun. You know, make sure that you're going out there and you're well educated in what you're doing. And I don't mean that in a negative way, but look for good, solid sources of education into either what you're buying or what you're about to go do, because this is not a typical lifestyle. We are constantly meeting new people, changing locations, which I enjoy, but it's hard for some people not to have roots. So make sure you know the good and bad of it. It's a lot, and not every day is YouTube happy, but it's all in your reason why. And our reason was to have fun and, you know, make the most out of the one life that we got.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Good advice.
Do it as smart as we could.
What have you done to maintain relationships? I know that putting four people in 400 square feet can be challenging, especially with a teenager. What have you been able to do to do that successfully?
We give each other space. So the nice thing about being in RV parks is that a lot of them have playgrounds. Some have pools. There's a lot of walking trails. And that's all activities that you can do inside of the park without even having to leave the grounds. Sometimes there's stores. So I can send my teenager up there and say, hey, go get yourself a soda. And she can ride her bike up there. You know, it's a nice small community. We make sure that we're going to nice RV parks that look like they're family friendly. It involves a little bit of research, but you know, mm-hmm. we make sure that there's stuff for the kids wherever we go.
Have you found any problems getting campgrounds on relatively short notice? You say you kind of decide as you go along where you're going next.
Not really so far. And I think for us, the reason being is because we've been traveling opposite the seasons. So we were in Oregon in the winter. We've been in Texas and the South in the summer. So we haven't really been going with the crowds. And I think that that's probably the reason why a lot of the parks we're in are nearly empty.
Okay. Well, that's good to point out. So if people are planning trips, maybe go a couple of months earlier before everybody else arrives.
I would say so. I mean, the heat is hard, but the crowd sometimes can be harder, mm-hmm. or not having an RV spot can be even harder.
Yes. Well, thank you so much, Danielle. This has been a wealth of information. I've really enjoyed it, and I hope other people have picked up some golden nuggets here. And I'll bet you a bunch of folks are going to start looking at this Amazon deal. That sounds really intriguing. Very good.
Well, and if anybody's ever looking for anything, you know, we're out there as inspectors. We're traveling inspectors. We update our location on the NRVIA locator website as we go. So if you can't find an inspector in your area, keep looking. We're also called, can I say that?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. We are also called Wheel Estate RV Mobile Services and Inspections, and we're happy to help you however we can. So give us a call, look us up online. It's wheelestatervinspections.com. And, you know, reach out to us. We want to help everybody that we possibly can in any way, if it's Amazon, if it's RV. You know, we had a dream one day too, and no one helped us, and I'm willing to do that for someone else.
Very good. Well, thanks again for the time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. I really enjoyed myself.
I really appreciate Danielle Sulzer for taking time from her very busy travel schedule to speak with me about her family's adventures and money-making opportunities. I've never heard of retail arbitrage, but it sounds like a fun way to make extra money by shopping for things on sale and then reselling them on Amazon and eBay. With Amazon, they simply find the deals and ship them to the company where the items are stored and shipped to the ultimate buyers. Creating logos and doing digital photography as well as videography is a great way to make extra money. When families are together on vacation, that's an ideal time to take some informal portraits when everyone is happy, relaxed, and in a natural state. She can also serve business clients needing artwork by designing it from her desk inside the RV. But the main source of income is conducting RV inspections and fixing other people's RVs wherever they're traveling. They've also been able to make money by inspecting RVs for the Federal Emergency Management Agency. The whole point of their plan is to create income streams that are relatively easy to do wherever they opt to stay for a while. As a general rule, the Sulzers tend to stay in the same place for 14 to 20 days, then move another 300 miles or so and check out that area. Because of the training they've completed, the family saves money by doing their own RV service work. One thing they like to do as a family is seek out the best ice cream and pizza they can find in each town, especially at local mom-and-pop places. They also like to visit local city and county parks. They have found some really affordable accommodations by staying at fairgrounds when the venue is not being used for a major event. Daniel proves that it's relatively easy to fund a travel dream and that you do not have to stay in the same location for months at a time just to earn money. You can follow the Sulzer family on their adventures via their YouTube channel. Just search for The Wandering Souls Family. You can find more information about their businesses by visiting www.wheelestatervinspections.com. Today's show is sponsored by the Small Business RVer School. This new course from WorkCamper is designed specifically for entrepreneurs on the move and helps you build a business you can run anytime from anywhere. The self-directed course helps you be your own boss while reducing stress and saving on taxes. Through a series of online videos and monthly calls, you're taught the steps necessary to build and manage a successful mobile business. Life is way too short, so choose what you want to do, when you want to do it, by starting a business of your own. For more information, visit www.smallbizrvier.com. That's all I have for this week's show. Join me again next week for another episode when I speak with a couple who's been work camping across the nation and even in Alaska. Thanks for listening to today's episode of The Work Camper Show.